listen to Morning Lifestyle with Dave. Now, as you will be aware, yesterday some new industrial legislation came into effect, offering us the right to disconnect, particularly for businesses with 15 or more staff. If they risk failing to meet their right to disconnect obligations, it could become a very, very expensive exercise. Natasha Hawker is the Managing Director of Employee Matters and is joining us. Natasha, welcome.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Dave.
Well, those penalties are pretty harsh. You could be $19,000 per breach for individuals or $90,000 per breach for companies under the closing loopholes law and the right to disconnect. It's new for us here in Australia, but it has been used elsewhere.
That's right. Europe in particular. So I think many of your listeners will be aware that France has had a 35-hour working week for some time, and they are quite strict with it. But Portugal, I think the big difference here, Dave, is that Portugal have a right to disconnect, and they were one of the first. But interestingly, it's very much the onus is on the business to not contact, where here the business could contact, and it's up to the employee to say, no, I have the workplace right, which means I can refuse to monitor, read, or respond to contact outside work hours, and I'm going to exercise that right, unless that contact is deemed to be reasonable. And yes, came into effect yesterday, the 26th of August, for businesses over 15, and then for businesses under 15, that will come into effect on the 26th of August, 2025.
Mm. I can imagine for all sorts of businesses, there would be kind of exceptions to the rule. If you're an on-call doctor, for example, perhaps a cardiac surgeon, during the time that you're on call, if you're being paid to be on call, you would be reasonably expected to respond to save somebody's life.
That's absolutely right. There are a number of employees that won't be held by this law. And, you know, another example of very senior managers who are in global roles and take global conference calls late at night, they're paid a premium in which to do that. And they know that, and it's part of their job description and part of their employment contract. So those guys will be exempt as well. So there will be some exceptions. And I think the other interesting one, Dave, is I think a lot of people with caring responsibilities have really enjoyed the flexibility that it's come, you know, where they can duck out, pick kids up from school at 3, come back, get the kids sorted, and then log on later at night and finish the work day. And that is still going to be possible. It just needs to have that conversation and have that documented so everyone's very clear that employee is very comfortable working that way.
So it appears the big winner from this change in legislation is actually the HR department.
Well, yes, I would have thought so. But here's the funny thing, David, that I think most small to medium businesses have struggled with automation that has been coming their way over the past 1 to 2 years, and it's the most we've had since Fair Work. So there's a whole lot of legislation in my experience that they haven't even complied with that was due to be complied with last year. For example, pay secrecy, respect at work, people at work. So I think for many small to medium businesses, they're still fighting for their financial survival at the moment. And so that's their priority. But I think the government will start to try and pull this into line and make sure people are compliant. It can't be ignored forever.
Mm. Well, obviously, it's first up for businesses over 15. So lots of small businesses at this stage won't be affected. But the warning comes in the next 12 months. That will all change.
And that will. And I think in some ways that's a reprieve, and there's some things that need to happen for that. So, you know, I think businesses need to be thinking about, okay, how does this work in reality? Because they can not only ignore their boss's days, they can actually also ignore a supplier who's contacting them outside hours or a client. So as you can imagine, clients are like, you know, gold dust, and you want to look after them. If that was to happen in your business, how would your client take that? So I think we need to have more full discussions to work out how do we manage this. And equally, if a heap of work is getting done outside hours, then and that has to now be done inside hours, do we have our resourcing rights to be able to do that? Maybe we don't. Maybe we need some more hires. So I think that's all the downstream impacts that businesses need to be thinking through in preparation for these changes.
Mm. Well, I know a lot of the bigger businesses and banks have been cutting back on staff, and therefore those that are left have to do what has to be done in the amount of time. That may actually perhaps see a trend in a dip, and some of the banks perhaps not recording such a bigger profit because they have to employ more people to get the job done. Otherwise, it won't get done.
I think that is very possible because, you know, in 2023, the Australian Institute did a study and have worked out or estimated that they think Australians are doing up to 5.4 hours of unpaid overtime a week. So that's something like 260, I haven't done the math, 260 hours a year. And that's unpaid. So I think there's going to be a couple of repercussions. One is, do we have the resources to do the work that we think we need to in office hours? And the second one is, from talking to a number of employment lawyer friends, they are starting already to see an increase in the underpayment claims, where people are saying, hang on a minute, I'm actually doing an extra 5 hours a week and I should be paid for that, and it should have triggered some overtime. And I think that's going to be starting to happen as well, especially as the cost of living crisis continues to bite. People won't be so happy and now are more aware that some of these hours aren't happening. On the flip side of that, I do think many business owners don't actually know what work is being done outside hours. They don't have timesheets. So what I'm recommending to a number of our clients at Employee Matters is they actually do a survey and see whether it's a problem, because you may find it's a particular manager who's being a little bit loose with contacting people late at night, and that needs to be reined in.
Some interesting times ahead, particularly for those with businesses of 15 or more staff. I suppose it'll take a couple of months before we start to see exactly what it looks like, but it is one for businesses with more than 15 employees to certainly contact their HR department and work out a way forward so that the business and the job can get done, and the employees can also have that time off and downtime that they need. Natasha, great to spend some time with you talking about it on our program today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Dave.